right.
This morning's sermon text is taken from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it reads as follows. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, while verses 16 and 17 will serve as our main focus this morning, we're going to read the entire passage, starting in verse 9 of the same chapter. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, speaks of who and what we are as Christians. He uses metaphorical writing and ends it with a very interesting conclusion. He proposes that we are God's temple. And this morning we're going to talk about what is that temple exactly. Well, we are told in the book of 1 Corinthians, again, by Paul, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not on your own? So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in and through us. And in this morning's sermon, we're going to study exactly what that means and the important duty that follows it. In order to do this, we will cover 3 points. First, the history and decadence of the ancient temples. Second, the modern temple and its purpose. And third, glorifying God with his new temple. So starting in our first point this morning, we need to kind of briefly overview the history of God's ancient temples. You see, the first temple was built in 1000 BC by King Solomon after King David conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. As it says in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 7, now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. This temple was destroyed in 586 BC by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he conquered Jerusalem. But before then, it had been named Solomon's Temple, and it was extremely beautiful in many ways. It was decadent and made of precious materials such as gold and bronze. Then David put garrisons in Syria, Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Likewise, from Tibhath and from Chun, cities of Hadarezer, brought David very much brass, wherewith Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. 1 Chronicles 18, 6-8. So as we can see here, God supplied both David and Solomon with the materials and the craftsmanship needed to build this amazing temple. And the construction itself was quite involved, as it states in 1 Kings. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stones quarers, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. That's 1 Kings 5, 17 through 18. Solomon's temple was dedicated to God after its completion, and during its time of existence, it became a place where sacrifice and praise was offered to God. Nebuchadnezzar, however, plundered this temple and looted it of all valuables, as it says in 2 Kings, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. This one by King Herod. While it was originally a rather modest structure, the temple was refurbished, and the original structure was totally overhauled into the large and magnificent edifices and facades that are attributed to Herod's reign, and you can actually see a rendition of it on your bulletin this morning. The temple itself was of massive scale, and it covered a huge amount of area. This one also was destroyed, but by the Romans. Now, interestingly, Jesus talks about the destruction of such magnificent structures in the book of Mark. And it reads, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering, said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now Jesus' disciple here was clearly very proud of the beautiful buildings, and he was amazed by their magnificence. But Jesus was interested in something far different. It says in John 2, verse 19, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Throughout Israel's history, it had always needed a temple to glorify God. This was their tradition, it was their way of life. But when God sent down his one and only Son, whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. When Jesus was crucified and killed, the temple which he spoke of in John chapter 2 is a temple that we are now all a part of. For 3 days later, he rose up a new, everlasting temple. In our sermon text this morning, Paul refers to each of us as temples of the Holy Spirit. But what makes his writing so influential is the fact that Paul is shifting the focus from a literal temple to a figurative one. Christ now lives in and through us as he lived in and through his ancient temples. And this now leads us into our second point this morning, which is the modern temple and its purpose. So, we are Christ's modern temple. In each of us, there is stored the truth that is our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Paul in our sermon text is clearly talking about that. He asks, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Friends, the moment that we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. Our body then becomes his temple, and the Holy Spirit helps us throughout our lives as Christians. There is not one person anywhere who can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. There is not one person who can follow Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees everything that goes on. He knows everything in our hearts and our minds, and nothing is hidden from him. And yet oftentimes we believe that we can hide ourselves from him as if we know any better. But who knows better than God? Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding?" Now each of us here today, in our own way, we all know of the greatness of God. And being told that we store inside of ourselves a part of him, well, it's almost rather shocking. But that was God's plan all along. And we are instructed to set our minds on Him and on this, as it says in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And now that we carry with us this joy, we are to always remember and hold on to the fact that God is constantly with us. He is not just in one place, not just in one temple. He is with each of us. And what a joyous thought that is. But it not only serves as a thought, but as a challenge as well. Temples need to please God, and likewise, we must conduct ourselves in a manner that does just that. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. That which we place our constant focus in is a direct reflection on how being a temple of the Holy Spirit affects us. Upon accepting God's gift into our hearts, we become a figurative temple. And this has so much more to offer us than the sin of the world. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, 23. That is what we are working towards. Eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is why it is so imperative that as temples of the Holy Spirit, we uphold our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another, and show God's love and forgiveness to every individual that we encounter. Because that is our duty as modern temples. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in work or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. So with that, it brings us to our third and our final point this morning, how to glorify God as his newfound temple. Friends, God chose to make his presence felt most strongly in his holy place. And as we have discussed this morning, we are that holy place. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As God's chosen people, we are chosen to be his example and act worthy of being his temple. God's plan for us and the way that we can glorify him is by acting like his son. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 2:6. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, and now he asks us to do the same thing. In this, we carry Jesus and his example within us, and it is our responsibility. As Christians, we serve God by completing his work, by acting worthy of his spirit, and conducting ourselves in a manner that constantly glorifies him and shows God that we are ready. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, let us stay vigilant. Vigilant in his gospel and his precepts. For it is the single most important way of learning how to glorify him and to be worthy to be called his temple. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 1, verse 3. Should we do these things, we will find the ability to be for him in every possible way, and we can be the beacon of hope that God's temple should represent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we are completely humbled, Lord. Humbled that as people that walk this earth, Lord, we are chosen by you, our eternal Father, chosen to house your Holy Spirit, to carry your word to the nations, to this city, to our neighbors. God, I ask that going forward, that each of us act as worthy as we can, and Lord, we will fall short. You know that. You know when we will fall short and how. But God, I thank you for your forgiveness, for your love. Lord, for the message that you've provided to us, in that whenever we do fall down, Lord, whenever we do fall short, the answers are right in front of us. Heavenly Father, the people in this church today, those who are listening, wherever they may be, I pray that they feel called. They feel called to you as your holy temple, filled with your Holy Spirit, and called to bless others with that same message. Heavenly Father, I thank you again. I thank you for your blessings, for your love, for your steady hand that knows so much more than we ever will. And I pray all these things through Jesus' name. Amen.